This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by Skillshare. The first 1,000 people to visit skillshare.com/SOL will get a free trial membership. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of online classes available for you to watch anytime. Whether you want to explore your love of plants or learn how to design your own fabric, Skillshare has a class for you. Be one of the first 1,000 people to visit skillshare.com/SOL, and you'll get a free trial membership. It's the perfect way to relax and explore your creativity.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're doing a little Q&A discussion episode from a couple of topics that got brought up in the Self-Sewn Wardrobe group. And so, the first topic we're talking about, Catherine made a post in the group, and she said, I sewed this winter maxi dress 2 years ago, but don't wear it often because I don't like gray. What are my color options if I want to dye it, apart from black, which isn't my favorite either? And so Catherine posted a picture. It's like, when she says winter maxi dress, it's long-sleeved, like kind of a long sleeve. Actually, it looks really cute. I'm like, I want to.
Yeah, I know.
I used to have a sweater dress that was like so cute, and I don't know why I got rid of it, and I really wish I hadn't. It was like, it had a big skirt, like a gourd skirt. It was like knitted three-dimensionally. It was so beautiful. And this dress has like slightly gradient stripes.
Yeah, you know? I think like, there's a
it's like a little stripe.
I don't
to
think
it.
That's a photographic issue. No. It looks like it may have like, yes, alternating stripes.
Yes.
And one's a little bit
gradient
lighter.
Gradient is not the right
it's
word.
It's not gradient because they're every other,
yeah.
every other.
There's slightly different values of gray. And so, like, there, you know, here's the short answer to this question. You just don't know.
I was going to say you could read my answer.
CD says, over dying. What's over-dyeing?
Something's already been dyed, and you dye over it.
There you go.
So it's not, you know, a bleached fabric or a natural
state
fabric.
Okay, right. There you go. Yeah, great, great, great thing to bring up there. So over-dyeing is a crapshoot, says ZD Donahue. All the variables mentioned here will play a part in your final product. Your thread will probably not be an exact match to your garment fabric. Attempting a lighter color may give you very little or no visible result. If you are not wearing the garment, then you may appreciate whatever result you get. I liked the like your fair and balanced approach there, you know, like,
well, and dyeing is always a crapshoot. Okay.
Yes.
So, like when you would order maybe dresses that you need to match, like costumes you need to match, or
yarn,
or bridesmaids' dresses. That's a big thing. They say you want to order from the same lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they say that is it was in that specific lot that all that fabric got dyed together. And then they ran out of that fabric, and they dyed some more fabric.
They had to mix up the dye.
And they believed that they used the exact same formula, okay? They really believe they did, and they probably did. But error happens, whether it was temperature, whether there was something on,
I don't know if error is even the right word.
Well, no.
You know, it's just variation.
It's percentage of variation, I guess, right.
Because it's just going to happen.
No, it's a crapshoot, okay? I mean, maybe it was raining that day and it was too moisture in the air or something. So that's why you are told by even ready to wear, right? Or people who die for a living.
Die for a living. Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Sounds like a movie or book title.
No, it sounds like a podcast for people who dye, like hand dye
for
yarn. Yes. You know, hand dyed yarn is like a big deal. And
big
Sam
deal.
Is editing this podcast. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Sam.
She used to hand dye a lot of yarn. I just made socks from Sam's hand dyed yarn. And yeah, so like if you're going to yarn dyers, little ones, big ones, whatever. They'll have sometimes the lot. It's like lot 210. And then when you're going to buy more yarn for like you didn't buy enough for the sweater, you'll be like, do you have Lorna's Laces and Pretty Chartreuse lot number 9250? You know, people will like look for that because they really, especially when you're doing a whole sweater.
Right, because you don't want all of a sudden there's a line somewhere on your sweater that changes color that you didn't plan.
But if you are doing that, here's what they recommend. So if you've gotten yarn from two different dye lots, you alternate each row with the different one. And so it probably won't look like that different when you do that.
So if you're laying a hardwood floor or you're laying a tile floor that has been glazed or anything like that, they tell you to mix your packages. Okay, because if you lay all of one box of tile there, and then the next, you may wind up with a big stripe.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
So they tell you to, you know, mix them together.
Okay. When I say I love that, I don't love that they tell you to mix the packages. I love that ZD could bring that up. Isn't my mom so cool? Like, she just knows about
everything.
You know, So mixing that. Okay, so this dress is gray. So it's not like she's got like a white dress, you know, or something like that where you
The over dye?
Yeah, talk about that.
So this has been dyed.
Mm-hmm.
It has already been dyed. She didn't dye it, but somewhere along the line, you know, someone dyed this fabric in the manufacturing process. So these are not virgin threads. These are not virgin fibers.
Right.
They have been dyed.
So what does that mean for us?
Well, it means a couple of things. One thing is, are those fibers capable of even taking on any more dye?
I don't think that's
something
a lot of people, you know, think about. That's a possibility.
And sometimes with natural fibers, you know, they really won't.
Yeah, they'll.
Yeah, you know, they've taken it on and there it is.
Yeah.
So generally, you cannot dye lighter.
Right.
I've never known a time you could dye lighter. I mean, that's called bleaching.
You know what? Somebody posted.
You can do like dye removal.
Yeah, somebody posted a cute little tutorial of like, bleach, you know, you can do like surface design.
Right, absolutely. You can do shibori dyeing with bleach, you know, things like that. Tie dyeing with bleach. You can draw with a bleach pen, you know.
They have you dipping a cup into bleach and making circles.
Yeah, and again, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Okay, it's how long you leave it on, you know, how you put it on, how much went on, how you rinse it off. Okay, so what I'm saying is, generally, you will have to go darker.
Yes.
You can't even go across on the hue, right? You have to go darker if you're trying to impart another color.
Yeah, you mean the value.
Excuse me, yes.
So, if she wanted to try to get a purple or a blue.
Well, so say someone says, well, dye it yellow. Well, how much of that yarn? Okay, what colors are in gray?
Well, okay, this is something I wanted to bring up because I've taken a lot of painting classes, and making up your own gray is often like an exercise that you have to do And it's not just white and black. You know, it can be lots of different colors depending on the type of gray you want.
Well, will they let you use white and black? Do they tell you you can't?
Well, it just depends. Oh, okay. I don't know. I mean, I'm just, man, I'm just remembering this one time I was sitting there with Frank and he's just lecturing me about gray. And what was funny is that the color yellow came up and he said, it's so hard to try and get a really warm gray. You know, you end up getting a green, you know, or you end up getting something else. And I wanted to, what we were talking about in preparation for this podcast is colors in different contexts.
In different mediums.
In different media. Yeah. They.
So paint and dye.
Stop. I'm on time.
Okay.
I want to say it.
Jeez.
I'm trying to say it. So colors in different media don't always follow the same rules. Like, when I was in college, I remember having this discussion with a theater tech person who was putting gels over lights. And they were talking about how they would get certain colors, you know, with like this or that gel. And I'm like, oh, I ended up mixing these two pigments together the other day and they made a purple and I did not expect it to be a purple, you know. And they were like, oh, yeah, that wouldn't work with my, you know, celluloid, you know, gels. So you've got paint, you have light going through, you know, plastic, you've got dyes. And so it doesn't always follow the same rules. There's also, I meant to tell you about this before the podcast, but there was a Sherwin-Williams employee, okay, who got in trouble. Okay, he started doing TikToks of mixing the paint. First of all, they went viral and Sherwin-Williams is stupid for firing him because he had all these people interested
no
in
joke.
Paint mixing.
Yeah.
So they fired him, you know. But he shows you, you know, I'm going to mix these, you know, two things together to get like rose gold. And it's not always what one might expect, which I think is really cool. But yeah, they fired him and he was getting like millions of views on these TikToks.
So what I'm saying is, mm-hmm. I believe if she would have dyed this yellow, she would have had no change at all. No, let's put it this way, no visible change.
Right.
That she would notice, or she might get like a green hue.
Well,
to it.
Okay,
or
I have
some,
a...
You know, maybe a green hue. I can't think of what other color she would get.
I have another explanation. Okay, so let's talk about the dyeing process because you can have garments that are like dyed at, they're made of fabric that was dyed after it was woven, or you can have fabrics where the yarn is dyed and then they're knitted or woven together and then they're made into garments.
Yes.
So is it possible that her gray knit dress has white yarns in it?
It is possible because we can't tell.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, I wanted to bring that up.
No,
so
no, and that's, you and I had that discussion. All we see is a gray and a lighter gray. Mm-hmm. So maybe that lighter gray actually has some white fibers in it. So is she going to wind up with a gray dress
with like
a hint
heather?
Of a yellow stripe through it?
That could be
maybe.
Cool. Who knows?
Right, maybe. And how well is that fiber going to take that dye on? So... And it has to do with concentration, how long she leaves it in there, and how well it's going to take it on.
So when you approach a project like this, and we say it's a crapshoot, I don't want somebody to think it's like, oh, it's a crapshoot, don't do it.
Right.
You just have to approach it like a fun experiment.
Right.
And she even, you know, you said if you're not wearing it, maybe you won't care.
Right.
You know? And that's very valid. Now, if she did have a little, maybe she had scraps of the fabric.
Exactly.
She could get a rough idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we say rough idea, we mean rough idea. And I don't know if I've brought up this story before. It happened a long time ago. And ZD and I were like, I don't even know if we remember like the same things about it. But I started off school as a dance major. And the ballet teacher was a seamstress. She made tutus for, what is it? Like Tutus USA or something. It's a pretty well-known company. And they would contract out all this work and ended up being dance teachers, like people who were ballerinas. And making a tutu is like a highly, you know, these costumes, like highly specialized, you know, process. And so anyway, this is like something she kind of did on the side from teaching, you know, dance at this college. And she needed these lace pieces, like, and these appliques, they were going to be like, you know, some of them were sort of three-dimensionally things, dyed purple. And she was like, can you or your mom do this? That's not how she asked it. She, can you or your mother dye these for me? Like, she was really quite the classic ballet teacher. And so anyway, she sent me home with some lace. And I told her, I was like, we can dye this for you, but then when we dye more for you, it may not be the same color. And of course, she was like, I didn't want it quite purple. I want it sort of mulberry or whatever. I don't know what she said. But anyway, we dyed some, and then I brought it to her, and she's like, yeah, I like this, you know. And then we dyed some more, and it did turn out a little bit differently. And I told her it would. And she was like, well, I think maybe it could have. Maybe we could have made it a little bit more similar. And especially when you're dyeing, like, little stuff like that, and you put it in a vat, you know, you try to make the same concentration of dye, but then if you're putting in a different amount of things.
It's just, yeah.
You know, and
it's a crapshoot.
Especially with, like, lace.
You right, know, right.
Like, all sorts of weirdness right. can be happening there. Now, we did start off with, like, white lace, but so crapshoot-wise, if I was trying to make a costume with just, like, a bunch of lace appliques on it, I would cut my losses, and I think I would do this because of what you taught me, and I would just dye all that stuff purple right
Absolutely.
Away.
Absolutely.
Go with the purple.
Absolutely.
Incorporate, if I needed some more right. mulberry or whatever, I would incorporate some other kind of design elements right. to, you know, get that in there. So, anyway, I would love a simple gray maxi dress like that. So I just want to take it. Like,
yeah. So anyway, if she really wants a different color, mm-hmm. if she really does wants to get rid of the gray and she doesn't want like a yellow stripe, I would say she has to go to something in a darker value.
Right.
And so a deep blue.
Deep purple.
A deep purple. Maybe she could get a deep turquoise in there, like a real deep teal of something.
I mean, you could try you like know. A dark red. Maybe.
Yeah, but it's going to have to be it has to be something darker.
We're also putting her on the cooler side, you know.
And she wants warm.
Yeah.
So I guess she can try an orange. Here's the other thing. Orange is red, and red can be unstable and hard to deal with.
Well, orange
with.
Is red and yellow. Right. And those are the colors. It's hard to get a dark yellow,
Right. So, you know, now she could throw a bunch of stuff together and come up with a brown and see what happened.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, no, a brown. Yeah.
I mean, she could just take some dyes, mix them up together and go, oh, I think that's brown and see what happens.
But I think that.
But I don't know if she likes brown. You know.
I do like the. I like the point I brought up, I really do, about whether or not some of the yarns are dyed or not.
Right.
And that is something that would be.
Right.
At
so
least,
if she has fabric scraps, yeah. you know, that's probably, you know, just get some solo cups, put some little samples of dye in them and you know.
And play dye pong.
Right. dye till your heart's content and see what happens.
Okay.
Someone made a reference to us in a podcast about some dyeing, I guess, that I mentioned in costuming. And what I used to do, if I was looking for a color scheme maybe, was go buy a bunch of, like, white blouses, say.
Right.
Okay? So say I wanted, like, yellow and pink and blue blouses, you know, in this group scene or whatever,
right.
whatever group number. I would get white blouses and I would, you know, make a vat of pink and a vat of blue and a vat of yellow.
Right.
And they would come out. And not all of the yellow blouses would be the same value.
Right.
Okay? They would dye differently. And yes, I would use RIT dye. And the reason I would use RIT dye is RIT dye is a mixture of dyes. It will dye from organic, so natural fibers, mm-hmm. to polyester fibers.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And that's another thing. Polyester fibers are plastic type fibers, right?
Yeah.
Man-made fibers are sometimes harder to dye because they're not porous.
Yeah, some people say you can't dye polyester.
Well, that's not true.
That's not true. Okay, so it's not true.
I've dyed entire wedding dresses.
Yeah.
And that was another trick, to buy old wedding dresses mm-hmm. from the thrift stores or whatever. People would donate wedding dresses all the time.
And we have a wedding dress that needs to get donated.
We have
donated,
a couple of wedding dresses, yeah. But they were, you know, you needed a big ball gown.
Yeah,
you took
right.
this dress, you know, and went, oh, okay. And
boom, purple.
And yes, you can put a wedding dress in a washing machine. I've done it many times.
You know what? We should just dye that wedding dress. Just for what? Just film it.
We don't know.
We
what
run
color
a
we
sewing blog.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that. Yes, we do.
Can you dye? Yeah. Look,
but you know, if you can get like,
hold on. Would it be profitable? Are people searching on Google? Can you
to dye a wedding
dye
dress?
Oh, it's the third.
Okay.
Can you dye a synthetic? Oh, it's the second. Can you dye a synthetic wig? Can you dye a wedding dress? Can you dye a couch?
Yes.
Can you dye a rug?
Actually, a synthetic wig will hold dye better than your hair will hold dye when it comes to like RIT dye. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying that we've got SEO gold mine.
So maybe we're going to do this. So it was a great thing that maybe you could get, like, you got these wedding dresses donated, or you went to the thrift store and they had a whole wedding dress for $15 or $35. Well, you can't make a ball gown for $35.
No.
But you could throw it in your washing machine with a couple of, couple of bottles of RIT dye or packs of RIT dye, however you were going to do it.
Squirt.
And it would come out and it would be gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be just gorgeous.
Okay. So we'll obviously have to do that. Let's take a break and come back and answer another question. This should have just been a whole podcast, I guess. We'll come back and answer another question from the group.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by Skillshare. The first 1,000 listeners who sign up at Skillshare.com/SOL will get a free trial membership for a limited time. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, I've been watching Skillshare classes this week, and I love that they're broken up into easy-to-watch short videos, so I can start and stop a class as my schedule allowed. Schedule means children. There are so many classes, it was hard for me to pick a favorite.
Well, I was excited to learn about Bonnie Christine's class, Intro to Surface Pattern Design. She explains her own journey to becoming a surface pattern designer, and I think it will help us as we dive into designing our own signature fabrics.
Yes, she covers concepts like working from a sketch and creating repeats. So when we design your paddleboard fabric, I can work from your sketch, right?
I see.
Yes. So if you want to print your own custom fabric, this is the class to start with. You can also share your projects with the Skillshare community and gain valuable feedback.
You know, we have a lot of listeners with an online presence. Is there any class that you think that would be useful to them?
Yes. If you want to start a blog, a podcast, or a YouTube channel, whether it's about sewing or not, I found this really cool class. It's called Creativity Unleashed: Discover, Hone, and Share Your Voice Online. You have something important to say, and instructor Nathaniel Drew walks you through how to provide value and engage your audience, along with tips and tricks to get over your insecurities.
So, be one of the first 1,000 people to sign up at Skillshare.com/SOL, and you'll get a free trial membership with access to thousands of classes for a limited time.
Thanks, Skillshare!
Sewing out loud.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com. It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
And we're back. Okay, so I was having trouble finding this post again, so I may just...
Okay, I just want to preface this by sewing is always a crapshoot.
There we go. There we go. So not only is dying a crapshoot, I love it.
Well, alterations are a crapshoot.
What did somebody...
Whatever, everything's a crapshoot.
Somebody posted...
Life is a crapshoot.
Somebody posted, I am not a goal-oriented... sewer, and I was like, that's nice. Like, I was like, that's
How does that work?
I mean, they were just like in it for the process. Like, I'm going to try this and see how it works. And I was like, well, couldn't we all do with a little bit more appreciation of the journey in our lives, you know? Okay, so Rachel asked, my friend wants me to take in the legs on these jeans. The waist and crotch fit fine. Would you take it in from the inseam or the outseam or a little of both? And so, like, just a little...
Can I get my favorite answer?
Sure.
Depends.
Depends. Yeah, right. I know.
Not that she should wear depends. Yeah. But it depends.
Listen, this will fix your whole fit issue.
Just wear depends. It fills the pants out. No.
Yeah. No, I sometimes when I'm tired and I look at the group, I'm like, well, it just depends. And I was like, that is the least helpful comment that anyone could have.
But
you know.
But honestly, there's very seldom an exact formula for these things.
Yes. And so the very helpful answer that I gave, of course, I think my answer is the best, is that, okay, so it will depend. All right. And we're going to tell this person to pin.
It also depends on what shape she wants.
Right.
She has, what shape that leg is to the shape she wants that leg to go to.
So first of all, you make it so that it makes the wearer happy.
Exactly.
And that they can get the pants on and off. Because I have...
And that they can sit down and stand up in
them.
There
we go. Yeah. If they want to sit down and stand up.
Well,
I mean, that's
or that they can bend their leg and they're able to tie their shoe. I mean, I have seen people had things altered where they could not bend their legs.
No, I've seen, and we would see overfitting, you know, in the shop and in the group. So, yeah, you don't want to make it so that the person's uncomfortable or whatever. But.
And you also want to say to them, if I absolutely ruin these pants, what would that mean to you?
There you go. So there are a few things to keep in mind here, though, that, and I have seen this, and I just think that sometimes I think I've got a point that I want to make about pants, okay, and pant legs, trouser legs, okay? If you have had the pleasure of buying a multi-size trouser pattern, okay, you will see that the pattern is nested. Okay. And different pattern companies nest patterns in different ways. Okay. But even if it's nested so that all of the inseams are together or that they're slightly staggered or something, you're going to see that the inseam on a pair of trousers is very much a similar curve among sizes. Okay.
Right.
Because what you're fitting there is you're going from somebody's crotch to the floor.
So you need to think about that the inseam is part of the crotch.
Yes. You need to think about that the inseam is part of the crotch and that there's not a whole lot of variation in humans between like your crotch and the floor. It's almost, you know, a straight-ish line. So, but when
once you get the crotch curved down.
Yeah. But when you look at a human, you know, and you look at their side, like if you were to, you know, run a finger down their side, okay, now we see we've got somebody with like real straight hips. We have somebody with really curvy hips. We have somebody, you know, who has like no butt, somebody with, you know, a large full bottom or something like that. So I wanted to make sure that they weren't trying to take like, let's just pretend, an inch out of the inseam and an inch out of the outseam.
All the way up.
Right. Yes.
So, and that's, so what you're taking out of that leg might not be the same on the inseam and on the outseam or continuously down.
So it would be helpful to take the pants off the wearer. And mark the grain line, first of all, would be good. And then put them back on the way. And mark it with, you know, safety pins.
Or tape or
something that's like, you know, easily going to stay on there. And then you can do, you know, with safety pins. But the other thing about looking at a trouser leg pattern is it can give you a little bit of an idea of the curve of a trouser leg, too, you know. And you probably don't want something that looks like a violin, you know, like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, wow.
You know what I mean? I've seen people, and I'm not saying that about this post in particular, but I've seen that happen. And a lot of times when you're altering on a trouser, though, a lot of times you're really altering on the outseam. You know, because now I posted a picture of the closet core. It says closet case on it because that was back in the day when that was their name. The closet core Jenny trousers. And actually, at first I thought, oh, I'll post a picture of these because I think it's nested so that every size inseam is on top of one another.
Yeah.
And I thought that would really prove my point very well, that it's all the same curve. However, that's not how it's nested. But I think it actually proved my point a little better. The way it's nested, you can see that there is like a 16th of an inch between each inseam. So I'm talking about from size, I think it's like 24 to like size 6 or something. There is only an 1/8 of an inch bumped between there. And then when you go to the outseam, you see that from a certain point, I'm making these numbers up, okay, from like 4 to 10, there's like a 1/4 inch. And then from like 10 to 20, there's like a 1/2 inch.
Right.
Okay. So you can see, though, that is much more than that 1/8 of an inch. So if I were to go down, you know, if I were to grade sizes, blend sizes, I would not be taking equal amounts, is what I'm saying here.
Well,
you know?
And then when you're just addressing the leg or the shape of the leg, okay, because I think, I can't remember exactly how she stated it, if she thought the leg didn't fit. The leg was just loose. I'm not sure it didn't fit.
Well,
I mean, maybe it was supposed to be, or it was intended to be by the designer, sort of a loose leg.
Well, and who knows? You know, that's all like.
So we're talking like, then when you get to the leg has a shape that is a style.
Right. Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the size. So, you know, if you're taking bell-bottom trousers and turning them into a straight leg, obviously there's a point somewhere below the knee where you have to come up with a new line altogether.
Right. Yes.
Or if it's a peg leg, it actually gets smaller and it's not straight. So there's, you know, like a stovepipe or a straight leg.
Or a, wide leg.
I mean, so there is a style that I assume this person was going for also.
Right. So that's a really good point. These seem to be like, I hate to use this word, just like kind of generic jeans. It's not like they're like statement.
No, I thought they were pretty much a straight
leg.
And they, you know, I should look at that picture again. I was wondering if it was like baggy or were they too, did she have the hem rolled up? That was the other thing I was wondering about.
The hem goes just right to the top of this person's
seat. Okay, because that's another issue when you're doing something like this, that the pant truly hangs and is not hung up someplace, you know, like bagged up at the bottom on the top of the foot, and so you're not getting a good fall.
No, we've fixed a lot of jeans that way. And I don't want to say that's all the time. Like, I was actually thinking this. I know we've been like, stop before you FBA. Some people need FBAs. Some people need legs. Some people need these things done, you know. But, yeah, we've fixed a few issues before by saying, hey, you've got an extra 4 inches down there. Let's fold it up. Let's
cut off two and fold up two and see what that looks like, because that's going to be more
now. And why do we know that changes the fit of a pair of pants?
Because we're short.
Yeah, because we're always I think I fold up like 6 inches on my ginger jeans.
You know, whenever if I like try on ready-made clothes and I'll see, I go, oh, that person was like me, because sometimes they're left folded.
Oh, they're like folded up.
Yeah.
Well, I can't remember what closet core is drafted for, but if they are drafted for a 5'10", I'm 5'4", and my legs are short. So maybe I do cut off like 5 or 6 inches.
I can almost routinely know that on a ready-made pair of pants, I can cut off 4 inches.
Yeah. I'll have to. I have a pair ready to be sewn.
I have tried on pants where the salesperson looks at me and goes, "Oh, they're too long." And I'm like, "Well,
like they're all gonna be
too long." I've never tried on. I can buy a pair of cropped pants though and wear them as a regular long
pant.
Well,
you know, that's the thing, too, is I don't shorten my ginger jeans with the length and shorten line.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if I should. It's been fine for me. I've just made them, put them on, cut them off. You know, it's not like it's a sleeve that has a cuff, because there is that one shirt dress pattern that I've made where I would like to shorten the sleeve, and right. I would do that at the length and shorten line, you know, because it's got a cuff and it's important and stuff like that. But with those jeans, it's not as big of a deal. And they're not a bell bottom, right? Like, they're not a, it's not like I'm cutting
right,
off the bell.
Like jean,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is, I guess I take a little bit of a shortcut there because I'm just like, I'll just hack
so
it
if
off.
You get a hold of Mallory and I late at night with an issue, and we go, depends.
It just depends.
It's not a smart-ass answer. It's honestly
it's
the
true.
Truth.
It's the truest
just,
answer.
It's just the short answer, and it's not a very satisfying one that's, for the person who's asking
that's
it.
That's right. That's right. It's a,
so there is another thing that Mallory and I wanted to tell you in this podcast, and that was...
What is that?
Dying is two different words, right?
Yeah,
I can
think
dye
I've
my
wrong.
Clothes.
Uh-huh.
Or... Actually, we're all dying.
We're all dying.
Yeah.
Just ask my kids.
Yeah.
They really well, know.
We've had two dogs die in 2 months.
Maybe this is the time to announce.
Yes.
Especially because we're podcasting and we have recently talked about how Jasmine, like, mm-hmm. oh, this crazy dog, you know.
Yeah.
And fingernail or toenail clicking
right.
and stuff. But Jazz had to cross the rainbow bridge too.
Yes. So we... basically had two dogs go across the bridge exactly 8 weeks apart.
Okay, so the moral of this story is not to adopt, like, several large dogs at the same time.
Well, that they're the same age.
That's
it's all
what I
about,
mean.
It's not the time, it's the age.
I guess that's what I mean.
Yeah, so, they were all very close in age.
And they're big.
But you know, those dogs found us, too, and we didn't find all of them. Like, Jasmine...
Well, true.
Right.
Yes,
so,
really
you know,
true.
That happens. Don't yeah. turn a dog down just because it's the wrong
well,
age.
Well,
I'm just saying
that we...
I had three dogs that were all very close in age, and they were all large dogs
right.
that don't live very long. And
but they, you know, they really... How long is a dog supposed to live? I mean, that was like, they were like 11, 12.
They're only supposed
12?
To live 7 or 8 years.
Yeah,
yeah
they were
going, getting into the double digits is an accomplishment for those. Obviously, they were very happy with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, if we wanted to dye a coat for Jasmine and we said we were dyeing a coat for Jasmine, we would have spelled it D-Y-E. I-N-G.
Yeah, so when you do the present participle
yes.
of die, it is D-Y-E-I-N-G. Right. And I think I should look through, I'm not going to look through the website and see where it's not going to happen.
But the fact that Jasmine was dying would have been spelled D-Y-I-N-G.
No.
Now, like, you know, in tribute to Jasmine.
Yes.
I don't know why we did this, but we got Derek out of the camper because he was isolating in it. My husband said, I just want to go for one more trip. And I was like, okay. And we took Jasmine with us. And Jasmine went on a 28-minute trail run with my husband. And she was running and she was very happy. And she got to be the only dog that weekend that was on the camping trip. So she did go out in a blaze of glory. And she came back home and did... She was actually ill. And
she sort of expired.
Right.
Following that trip.
And it was not from the trip. So for some reason, we innately knew to take her for her last hurrah, so to speak.
So you won't be hearing her little toe click.
No.
But I did let Fancy come up here a couple times.
Oh, she does click, click, click too. Yeah.
She can barely get up the stairs. So we got Fancy.
But now she's old too.
Yeah. Fancy's around the
but
same
age. But
she's
smaller.
But she's a smaller dog. So she's getting up there, but I think she's still got a few years left in her. She's not like Great Dane, you know,
right.
sized or anything. So
the bigger the dog, the shorter the life.
Right.
Expectancy.
Yes. My kids, they just talk about death all the time now. So
well,
you know.
I had to say, Mallory explained euthanasia to Zelda, and this was when we the first dog we
Zelda and Jerome. I've
explained
it to both of them.
But we were going to take the dog later that evening or later that day, I guess, and actually have her euthanized. And Zelda comes up to me and she says. Okay, so they call me Sugar, right? She says, Sugar, do you know there's a shot you can give a dog that makes it die? And I said, yes, I do.
I was trying to just be as truthful as possible. I explained that euthanasia means kind death.
That's right.
Okay, you know, and that we have to take care of our animals. And if they are, you know, very sick and uncomfortable. You know, this is what we need to do. And they're like, okay. And, but it has spawned some kind of funny conversations as well. So
where else can you listen to a podcast
where else?
And learn about all kinds of dying?
All kinds of dying.
Reshaping a pant leg. Dog life expectancy.
That's right.
And trying to explain euthanasia to a toddler.
Yes. I did a good job.
Okay, all in one podcast.
Yes.
All in one podcast.
See, we're your one-stop shop. Thanks for listening. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com. It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.